Tell us why you're here.
Hi, well, my name's Kathy Manley. I'm a criminal defense attorney in the Albany area, and I'm here to talk about the case of Yasin Aref and Mohammed Hossein. I'm just going to recap briefly a little bit of history and then talk about some very recent developments, which are quite startling. First of all, Yasin Aref and Mohammed Hossein were entrapped in an extremely unfair FBI sting operation. They were arrested in August of 2004 and convicted after trial based on secret evidence, the judge telling the jury that the FBI had good reasons to go after Yasin when we found out later that was false. They thought he was somebody else who was killed in 2010.
That was something that you found out once he was already convicted and imprisoned.
Yeah, we didn't find that out till the end of 2011. Tried to get a new trial.
That there was a case of mistaken
identity. They
wouldn't even
look at it again. Yeah, it was one of the initial things that I think resulted in a lot of secret evidence given to the judge, who then decided that Yasin was terrible and ruled against him on everything. And we never got to see any of that, by the way. Even the defense attorney, Terry Kenlon, who had a security clearance to see stuff, they said it wasn't favorable to the defense, so he didn't get to see it. Of course, if it was false, then, you know, he needs to see it to check it out. That's the Sixth Amendment. But anyway, so everything was extremely unfair. Both Yasin and Mohammed...
Just to be clear, they were seeking to look into Yasin Aref because he shared the name with somebody who was a target of the FBI.
I mean, there were, we don't know the details because we never got to see any of the evidence. Mm. We just found out later that they thought he was somebody else named Mohammed Yasin who was killed in 2010. We didn't find that out till this person was already killed. There was a FOIA document that said Yasin Aref, a.k.a. Mohammed Yasin Al-Qaeda, right? Mm. A.k.a. So Mohammed Yasin in Al-Qaeda was killed in 2010, at least somebody by that name. So, I mean, I don't know. But there were other things that made them suspicious about Yasin, but none of it was mainly like he was speaking out against the invasion of Iraq. Mm. He was speaking out in favor of Palestinian rights, things like that. And they were just suspicious of him because he was religious. He was from Iraq. He's an imam. So for all these reasons, they were suspicious of him. And then they thought he was this person that was in Al-Qaeda, apparently. And so they launched the sting operation. And it was extremely unfair.
Yes.
And both Yasin and Mohammed got sentenced to 15 years. They actually were totally innocent. It was entrapment on Mohammed's part.
Tell us about the entrapment.
This informant, who we'll get to in a minute, Shahed Hussein, very, very sleazy con artist. The FBI loved him. They used him in a number of cases. And this was the first sting operation, well, so-called terrorism-related sting operation that they used him in. And he befriended Mohammed and offered him a loan. And with very good terms, he said, "You don't even have to pay back all of it. And because I want to support my Muslim brothers and... Oh, and by the way, I'm selling a missile to a terrorist group." And Mohammed said, "I don't want anything to do with that." He didn't realize that had to do with the loan. It was supposed to be a money laundering case. And Mohammed didn't realize that. He just thought this guy was trying to help him. And this guy was also involved in something else that Mohammed didn't want anything to do with. So it was a little sketchy, but Mohammed really didn't understand how he was supposed to be laundering money. And Yasin was just brought in to witness the loan. He didn't even know about the missile. He didn't understand that anything illegal was going on here. He made that very clear on the recording. So it was very, they never would have got convicted, I think, if it wasn't for the secret evidence and the judge telling the jury that there were good reasons for going after Yasin and by, you know, association then Mohammed.
And just to clarify, the reason why Yasin was asked to oversee the loan is because of Muslim custom?
Right, right. They didn't use banks because they didn't believe in interest. It's a religious issue. It's actually even in the Quran to say that imams especially would witness these loans and write down the terms of it. And he made sure it was in writing. It was nothing secret about it. So anyway, it was extremely unfair. They got sentenced to 15 years. Yasin was locked up before trial. So his sentence ended last week because he was arrested in 2004. He got released from federal prison last week and was put in immigration detention because he is a refugee from northern Iraq. He's Kurdish. He was actually a UN refugee sent to the U.S., him and his family, his wife, and at the time, three young children. Since then, a child was born here. So we've watched the kids grow up without him. That's been the worst part of it for him. Mm. Otherwise, he's doing great. Everybody loved him in prison, just like everybody loved him out here, except for the FBI.
And so he is now in immigration detention, and I've read that he's awaiting to be deported back to Iraq.
That's right. He decided he didn't want to fight deportation. He would have had to stay in immigration detention for a long time and probably not been successful in challenging it. And he says he'll be okay to go home to his family. He's got lots of family and friends back there. His wife and daughters are there now awaiting him. We don't know how long it's going to take. The kids, the three older kids are adults now, and they're probably going to end up coming back here. Two of them already have their U.S. citizenship, and the third is waiting for his, and that should be pretty soon. So they want to spend some time with him, but then they'll probably end up coming here, back here at some point. And then the youngest girl, I don't know, she's 12. She may stay with her parents, till she's older. Mm. I don't know, but so she was born here.
Yassin's prison release had him back in the news briefly recently, and then even more recently, he's back in the news again.
Yeah, so something happened with the informant. So this guy, Shahed Hussein, he is the most pathological liar and corrupt, fraudulent person I've ever come into contact with. And he is the person that the FBI chose as the informant because he had already been convicted of fraud at the Department of Motor Vehicles. He had lied in his bankruptcy proceeding here. He had lied in his asylum proceeding here. But they didn't care. And he had a string of civil suits against him, too, from fraudulent businesses.
So it sounds like the FBI,
to cut to the chase,
understood that they had leverage with him because he was clearly a criminal.
Yeah.
And they could use that to have him do their bidding, so to speak.
Yeah, that was how it started with our case. That was to get rid of his charges from the fraud from the DMV. He got a minor conviction, got out of prison. Well, he didn't even go to prison, I don't think. He had like a little bit of time in jail, I think. And he avoided deportation. Now, if he had been deported, then he wouldn't have owned the limousine company, Prestige Limousine, that tragically had this car that killed 20 people last week. And that's the most horrible thing about this now is that the FBI enabled him by keeping him from being deported in our case. And then they kept using him, even though they knew that he committed a lot of perjury in our case. They then kept using him in a couple of other cases, paid him, I think, hundreds of thousands of dollars, which enabled him to have these businesses like this motel that I knew about and this limousine business that I did not know about until these 20 people died because this car should not have been on the road. I think the brakes failed. Something clearly was wrong with it. Everybody in the car was killed plus two pedestrians. It's horrible in Schoharie, in the town of Schoharie. And that just, I found out about it and I found out who the owner was and I just thought, oh my God, I can't believe this. At the same time, it made all too much sense in a really horrendous way that this guy was connected to this because he's never been able to do anything that didn't involve some kind of fraud or some kind of safety violations.
Deception.
Deception, like a lot of... when he owned the gas station in Albany next to the DMV, they had to remove the tanks years later after he left because they were leaking. You know, everything he touches is like slimy and polluted and contaminated, and he just doesn't care. I just read in the paper today that his house burned down in 2003. I knew that, or 2005. I knew the house burned down, but it was because he supposedly decided to put gasoline in a kerosene heater and, you know, that started the whole house on fire and almost killed his wife. And then his son had a very strange incident with a car in 2013 that burned a whole mechanic's garage down, I guess. And that guy lost his business. I didn't even know about that till today. It sounds like the sons are kind of following in their father's footsteps, unfortunately.
So how is a person able to get away with such a string of fraudulent behavior?
Three letters, FBI. I mean, that is the answer here. The FBI used this guy as an informant from 2001 or 2002 until at least 2012, when he was involved in the case of Khalifa al-Akili in Pittsburgh. And that was actually featured in an Emmy-winning documentary called Terror, T-Error, T in parentheses, because a filmmaker was filming the sting operation because she knew the other informant. And so if you watch that, which is on Netflix, you'll see what Shahed Hussain did in that case. He really screwed that case up. But it was already screwed up because the FBI shouldn't have been targeting Khalifa. Khalifa wasn't doing anything. There was no they couldn't get him on any sting operation.
And anyway, Khalifa did go to prison.
And he did go to prison because of an old, he had gone to a rifle range and used a rifle there. It wasn't his rifle. He knew he wasn't supposed to possess a firearm because he had an old drug conviction. But he didn't think going to a public rifle range was possession, right? But later, when they couldn't get him in the sting operation, they got him on that. And that's the FBI. And the FBI's, they've paid Shahed Hussain, as I said, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And probably cleaned up a lot of his messes along the way that we probably don't even know about.
And so Shahed Hussain right now is believed to be in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, yeah? Is that, I heard Pakistan. His lawyer said Pakistan. And I also heard Dubai. That's the thing, is we don't know where he is. We don't know who he is. We don't know anything based on what he's saying. If he says his name is Shahed Hussain, we don't even know that for sure, right? We can't believe anything he says. He's somewhere probably outside the U.S. or I don't know, maybe he's hiding in Wilton. I don't know.
So what would you hope would be the next step here?
I hope that he is found and that he is probably should be charged or at least questioned about this, because he was apparently running this company wherever he was. His lawyer's saying he was running it. He was handling the day-to-day operations, and his son was kind of following the instructions of the father. The son has been charged with criminally negligent homicide because he was the one that took the call for this group of people to be in this limousine, and he knew that this car was not supposed to be on the road. Mm. There were so many reasons why it wasn't supposed to be, and he did it anyway. So he bears culpability, but the father was running the whole thing and kind of telling the son how to handle things. So I think he should be brought into this too and face whatever consequences he bears after an investigation.
So for people who are listening who are feeling the outrage that I think many of us are, what can we do?
What can we do? I mean, try to educate yourself about the FBI's role in this, because a lot of the facts around the accident and the Hussain family are covered a lot in the regular media. But what's not covered very much is how the FBI allowed this to happen, how they kept supporting Shahed Hussain for all these years. So look into that. Google him, Google Yasin Arif, and educate yourself about this and the other sting operations that this guy's been involved with and that the FBI has been doing to innocent Muslims.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right, thank you.